Welcome back. Seth, it's good to see you.
Colin, it's good to see you as well.
Man, I'm so glad you guys are here. This week, as I'm sure you can guess, once again from the title which you clicked on, we are talking about a very interesting question.
Yes, one that's been plaguing humanity for quite some time.
This is something that I think Seth and I are both very excited to talk about. We've been trying to get this piece together because Seth here is about to leave.
Yes.
And so, as we'll mention more in the next podcast, this will be the last topic that we cover. And so we wanted to end with a bang.
Absolutely.
And so what is our bang? Well, today we're going to talk about good and evil.
Ooh.
And specifically, more poignantly, why would a good God allow evil to happen? That's the question. And it gets asked a lot to me. I've heard this several times in several different forms. I think this may be, theoretically a big reason why people don't believe in a God is because of this problem of evil. And it's so prevalent. I hear it so much. So, let's just jump in and get started.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the first questions we might ask ourselves on this podcast, the Science and Religion podcast, is... This is a lot of religion and not a lot of science.
Yes.
And so we kind of mentioned it already, but why talk about this? I mean, why bring this up on the Science and Religion podcast?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. So, as you said, there isn't a lot of scientific studies being done about morality because it's, as we mentioned earlier, probably on our definitions podcast, that morality isn't something that you can objectively measure, which is what science is all about. So, why do you think this would be appropriate, Seth? If that's not possible, why are we here?
Yeah, well, and you mentioned it already, but I think this is a question that everyone deals with. This
religious
is a question,
and non-religious,
right? Exactly.
Deal with this, yeah,
exactly. This is a question that people of all backgrounds, ethnicity, it doesn't matter. If you're a human, you're going to ask this question at some point in your life.
Absolutely.
And you know, at the heart of the Science and Religion podcast is starting a conversation, getting a conversation going, or jumping in on a conversation that is already out there. And as I mentioned, this is a conversation that is constantly out there. This is, like you said, a question that people are constantly asking. It's one that I'm asking as a Christian
Absolutely.
A lot of the time.
Yeah.
Is why would a good, all-powerful God let evil happen in the world? And so, honestly, it's a topic that I'm really interested in. I've been really interested this past semester and summer. And so we've got hopefully some good things to say. And so we'll go ahead and jump right into it. Colin, how do we frame this problem? How do we even approach this issue?
Yeah, great question. I've heard this asked in a lot of different ways, in a lot of different forms. And I think the most clear way that I understand it is holding up these two ideas that, for those of you who don't know, the God, specifically the God of the Bible, is pictured as something that is a being that is ultimately powerful. Very, very powerful, more powerful than you can imagine. And he's also described as something that is ultimately good. Very, very good, super good, so good that actually the term good in the Bible is defined as something that is pleasing or is promoting God. And evil things are rejecting God. And so the entire religious concept of good is built around this spiritual being. Okay, so if you have these two concepts, something that's very, very powerful and something that's very, very good, you run into problems. You run into problems when you see something like a tsunami that kills 500,000 people in Indonesia a couple years ago.
Or even a hurricane that hits the coast of Texas and leaves thousands of people homeless.
Right. And so the question is, why... If this being was so powerful, was infinitely powerful, that could have stopped these things, either he's powerful enough, but he doesn't really care about humans. He's not loving. Mm-hmm. Or he's loving, he cares about us, but he's not powerful enough to stop these things. And so therein lies the problem, that we keep seeing these horrible things, or, you know, even anecdotally, I'm sure in all of our lives, bad things have happened to people when they do good. You know, there's some sort of uncomfortableness there that happens whenever, yeah, when you, that's not right. Why is this? Why? Who would allow this to happen, and why? And so, I think that's. Is there anything else you want to add to the problem?
Yeah. So I think one of the things that I would like for us to be mindful of as we continue this podcast is specifically to. I want to talk about this idea of a filter between our theological answer and the relational answer we have to the problem of evil. Because I think much of the problem that people have with this idea of a good God who still lets evil happen in the world is that there are some Christians or some religions that might come to someone in a time of grief, or come to a nation in a time of grief, and throw a real hard, cold truth out as an answer. And as relational beings, that's not satisfactory, right? That we don't want to hear when our grandma has died, or when our brother has died in a car accident. We don't want to hear, well, Seth, if you just keep your eyes up and, you know, there's a silver lining in it somehow. We don't need to hear that at that moment. And so before we begin giving some answers or some popular answers to the problem of evil with a good and all-powerful God, I just want to point out this idea of a filter, that the filter is we have these theological truths that run through a filter, and they produce relational truths, relational actions. And so if you're listening to this because, I don't know, somebody said, hey, you know, if you're really struggling with this problem, go check these guys out. We're giving you the theological truth, which is in no way a replacement for somebody coming alongside you and just grieving with you and being with you through this issue.
Yeah, I think that's a great thing to bring up. I'm glad you brought that up. This is, like some of the other topics we've covered in here, this is something that's very emotionally charged. Mm-hmm. Something that, who doesn't have a personal experience with evil in their life, right? And so this is something that it's very impactful to people. And so, almost a disclaimer that we are talking about a lot of this stuff high up in the clouds today. Mm-hmm. We'll mention some other things as well, but I think you said it best. That is at its core this is an intelligent discussion of a podcast. Mm-hmm. This isn't a therapy session, right? So great. So from there, we've talked about why we've discussed it. Mm-hmm. We've talked a bit about the problem. Let's move on to where the conversation is today. Mm-hmm. What are people talking about this?
Yeah, so on a theological and somewhat philosophical scale, the answer falls into two categories, and we've kind of been hinting at them along the way. So you've got this postulation, right? There's an all-powerful God and an all-loving God, and there's evil in the world, and so you've got to reconcile the two somehow. And the way that most Christians, most religious, spiritual, supernatural people will answer the question is they'll fall into one of two umbrellas. And this is kind of a more philosophical term. There's this idea of monism, and then there's this idea of dualism. And I'm going to break those down real quick, and then Colin, I think, is going to give you more of the meat of what these ideas look like, fleshed out in Christianity. So under a monistic worldview, under an idea of monism, is there is one supreme reality. There's one God out there. And from this supreme reality, supreme God, flows both good and evil. And so a lot of the problem, so the answer then becomes, well, you can't really see it now, but if you step back and if you were to move to the level of the supreme reality, you would understand why there's evil in the world.
So what you're saying is all evil is just a matter of perspective.
Yeah.
If you
just
had better perspective, it wouldn't seem so evil.
Right. And so with that view, what you end up doing is you end up sacrificing the characteristic of God's love. Because God is still all-powerful. He's still the supreme reality, yet he still allows evil in the world. And so it would appear that this God is not loving. That if he truly loved you, then he would take this evil away. So under the monistic, monism kind of answer, you end up sacrificing God's love. Now, the other one is kind of a dualistic worldview. And this is the idea that there is good in the world and there is evil in the world, and God is only responsible for the good. And there's the one reality where God is responsible for and directing the good in the world, yet there's another kind of reality, another constrained law that keeps God, the good God, from stopping the evil in the world. And so because God is constrained in this way and evil is allowed to kind of reign, what you end up sacrificing in the dualistic worldview is God's power. So God's not responsible for the evil in the world because he's all good. But there's another source in the world of evil, and that source is at odds with God. And so there's that dualism kind of philosophical worldview. And that's another kind of attempt to understand evil in this world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, it sounds like we haven't gotten anywhere.
No, right? It sounds like we're talking around the problem, aren't
exactly.
we?
Exactly. So we still have these things of God being ultimately loving and ultimately powerful. So some of the ways that, you know, fitting within these two worldviews, I've heard a few specific responses mm-hmm. to this, thinking of specific times in the Bible, because a lot of people, well, they'll point to the Bible if you're asking a Christian about these things. Mm-hmm. If you're familiar with the Bible, there is a very famous one is the story of Joseph, where he is sold by his brothers into slavery, is a slave for many years, but as he works through his slavery, eventually he becomes second in command to Pharaoh and is able to do a lot of good. And so people using this silver lining, using this monism argument, will say, ah, see, there, if you just stepped back, if he only knew why he was doing this, you'd see all this evil, the evil that was happening to him, was really for a good thing. And so that is one argument. Another one, I'm not sure exactly how this fits in. This may be an entirely other realm of philosophy, but it is a moral argument,
okay,
which is essentially saying the only reason it's questioning your definition of good and evil. Okay. When someone says it's evil that this happened to me, someone might come to you and say, okay, well, how do you know that's evil? How do you know what evil is? What is the standard by which you're assessing good and evil? Mm-hmm. And once again, that may seem really cold or like they're being attacked or things like that. But it is something to consider is what is your standard of good? Like I said earlier, the Bible holds good as something that is consistent with or pleasing to God, which is probably not what good means for everybody. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, I would hear something along the lines of, if it's not actively, intentionally harming yourself or others, then it's a good thing. You know, something like that. So that is another consideration to take into account is that. Do you have any good examples of kind of the dualism, how that fleshes out?
This is real popular in a lot of religions outside of Christianity.
Mm, yes.
This Christianity is certainly tends to fall under monism. Mm-hmm. There, we believe in kind of one supreme being, supreme reality. So, but there's a lot of other religions out there that kind of have this idea. For example, yin and yang.
Yeah.
There's Eastern religions that believe that, you know, there's good in the world, but it's got to be balanced by evil. And they're two entities, right? It's kind of a matter of perspective. If you could see them balance, it would make sense. But they're two distinct entities, right? Good and evil. So that's one example. And that's the only one I can think off the top of my head. But more so kind of Eastern religions have mm-hmm. this idea of dualism.
And like you said earlier, clearly the good is not more powerful than the evil in this, right. since they're balanced.
Yeah, yeah. And so in fact, this was actually a one of the problems in early Christianity. There's a heresy that had to do with this dualism, and it was actually, I think it was called Manichaeism. I'm not pronouncing that right.
Okay,
we'll put it somewhere where you know how it's pronounced and spelled. But that was actually a heresy. Dualism was actually a heresy in the early church that was kind of rooted out and said, okay, this isn't actually what the Bible teaches.
I see.
So
wow, interesting. Okay, so where are we left? Where are we at?
Well, we're still stumbling around in the dark. It feels like throwing out screens of answers, but I think the answer that one of the best places we can go to maybe find a satisfactory answer, both emotionally and logically, is really the heart of what Christianity is all about. One of the most central events that Christianity is all about. And that is the crucifixion of Jesus.
Okay, how does that help?
Yeah, so there's this. I was listening to this podcast by Timothy Keller.
Oh man,
Timothy Keller. Let me tell you, if you want, this is kind of a shameless plug for Timothy Keller, but if you want emotional answers alongside logical answers to why Christianity is reasonable and emotionally satisfying, go listen to Timothy Keller.
TK.
TK. he was giving this sermon, and he brought up this example, and it was this play right after World War II, where basically what had happened is this play depicted a village in Germany that was kind of being put to trial for what had happened at the Holocaust. So. You know, it started out with this lowly villager, or I don't know the exact details, but basically the chain of command was followed up. So somebody lower would go to someone higher and say, hey, why did this happen? Right? How could you let this happen? And the person who was higher up would say, well, I don't look to him, look to this guy up here. And they'd go to the commanding officer of that guy. And they say, why, how could this happen? Why would you let this happen? And you see kind of this chain of command following up. And up and up, and eventually you get to this question of God, why, God, how could you let this happen? And so they kind of put God on trial, and that it ends with the verdict is that God needs to be put to death.
Wow.
And so it's so interesting because the example that Timothy Keller gives is he says this is exactly what happened, except God volunteered. God said there is evil in the world. And I'm going to die for it. I'm going to come down and die for the evil that is going on in the world. And through me, you will be saved from the evil. And that happens at the cross. That happens in the
yeah, maybe explain that for people who don't know, aren't familiar.
What do you mean? Explain.
What is the cross? When you keep saying
you're
the
right,
cross.
You're right. I'm sorry.
What is that?
The cross, so in the Bible, in the New Testament, which is a part of the Bible, we see the story of Jesus, this person, Jesus. I'm sure you've heard about him. Jesus came down as the Son of God. He claimed to be the Son of God. And if you look at the scriptures, I think you'll find compelling evidence for his claim. But so Jesus came down, claimed to be the Son of God, and died on the cross for the sins and the evil that were in the world, that were in everybody, was in everybody. And because of that, Christianity preaches that we can come into a relationship with God again. So I don't know if that explains it. Well, you might.
Yeah, so no, I think you did an awesome job. we see this story of this guy claiming to be God. The cross was a medieval torture device that they put people to death on. The Romans were very, it was very common in the time to put criminals to death on these. Mm-hmm. And through a lot of trials and accusations and betrayals, you can read the scriptures if you like, Jesus was put on trial, was accused of speaking heresy, claiming to be God, was actually one of the main reasons they put him to death. But like you said, as Christians, we believe that he did it intentionally, that God sent him to die. It wasn't the Romans' fault. It goes up that chain of command to God. And God did that by allowing Christ to be the perfect sacrifice for our sins so that we can now have relation with him. So, you brought up the cross earlier was a good example to help explain evil. How does that help?
Yeah, so I think, and this is getting more on a personal level.
Sure.
I think for me, as I heard that particular sermon, I think a lot of the ire that is found in humanity towards God is humans, me, Seth, points to God and says, God, how could you let this evil happen in the world? And when I look at the cross, what the answer I'm getting is, okay, I again, Seth, may never understand why God lets evil happen in this world, but I believe in a God, a supreme reality, that stepped down into that world and experienced the same kind of evil that I experience, that I see day to day, even though he didn't deserve it. He was the creator of everything. If, again, you believe that, if this being created everything, how mind-blowing is it that he would want to come down and experience the evil that you and I experience? Mm. And so for me, that's what the cross says to me. That's what the cross answers in my head and my heart, that okay, there is evil in the world, and I may never understand fully why God would let this happen, but it's not like God standing far off and saying, look at those humans suffer, look at those fools, and look what they've got themselves into. I'm going to sit up here and watch from distance. No, the God that I believe in stepped down and experience that evil, which I'm saying it over and over again because it's truly mind-blowing to me. So that's why the cross for me is the answer to the problem of evil.
Yeah, I thought it was really well put. So here we are. We have some hypothetical, theological, up-in-the-air arguments about these. You know, this could be some of the reasons. It might be your definition of evil. It might be your perspective. It might be that there's other forces at play. And there's also a common answer is God isn't pulled back from this. He's actually actively in it. And he is for you and is an example of how we should approach evil and suffering even. So here we are.
Here we are.
That is what's being talked about right now. That's what's going on.
Yeah. And you know, as Colin and I mention every time, this is a podcast all about conversation.
Yeah.
We want to get you in on the conversation, in on some of the answers or the questions. And certainly on this one, we got personal because truthfully, this is a personal question. You know, there are people who've, I think, try to ask it from a distance. You know, there are people who try to answer it intellectually, but deep down, personally, we all need to answer this question for ourselves. And maybe you don't believe in a God, in which case, hey, you don't have to answer it. But the question's still there, I think. For most people, the question of what do I make of this pain and suffering? So I just wanted to give that little caveat because we got personal. Don't let that personalness keep you away.
That's great. That's really good. So what is what's left for the podcast?
What's left for the podcast? So we got one more brief episode.
One more segment.
One more little outro podcast, which Colin and I are about to record.
That's right.
We'll see you here in a bit.
See you next time.